Okay, good morning, everybody. We are holding in the midst of Perek Lamed Zayin here in the Tiferes Yisrael. As we've mentioned, the task before the Maral in these Prokim, as he's been talking about Torah and then the details surrounding the events of Matan Torah, and now he's up to an analysis of the Aseres Hadibros. And Perek Lamed Zayin is dedicated to the first commandment. Last time, we talked about the aspect which is spoken about by the Rishonim, the Rahag, the Ramban, of the fact that the first commandment is not set in the form of a commandment. Anochi Hashem Elokecha seems to be a statement of fact, I am Hashem your God, rather that took you out of Mitzrayim, rather than a commandment, rather than an instruction. Why is it said in that form? In fact, because it's said in that form, there were those who didn't even count it as a mitzvah, because it's not said in terms of an imperative, rather it's just said as a statement. And so that's what we talked about at length last time. And the Maral offered three approaches. The first approach was that Hashem makes it as a statement because anything which is said as an imperative can be and cannot be. It could exist and it could not exist. Right? You can choose to worship something else, you can choose not to worship something else. However, Anochi Hashem Elokecha is implying as a statement of fact, I am your Elokim. That's an unchangeable reality. Right? Whether you choose to worship me or you don't choose to worship me. In Lei V'chem Ashvucha and Amlech Aleichem, as the Pasuk says, as Hashem promised in Yechezkel. There is no way of opting out of this reality of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And we discussed last week how in different forms than what Maral is saying, there are others in other places where they speak about this idea that the reason why it's said this way is because it's absolute, definitive, unconditional, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That was one approach. That was the first approach of the Maral. The second approach of the Maral was that the reason why it says it this way is because of the inherent difficulty in trying to command somebody that I am your God, I am your king. As brought the Chazal and would say, well, come on, if you're my king, then I'll listen to your mitzvahs, right? But then you don't have to tell me, right? And if I'm not your king, so then why should I even listen to you? You know, it's like, it's strange to say it as an instruction. You should treat me as your king. You know, if you are, you are. If you aren't, you aren't. So therefore, in order to address that, it's said in a different form than an instruction. It is a premise. It's a premise to the rest of the mitzvahs. Kablu malchusa, kibalta malchusa, kablu gzeiraisa, as Chazal said it. You accepted my kingdom, now accept my gzeiras. So therefore, because it is more of a premise, more of a foundational command than just a command within the list of the rest, that's why it says it as a statement followed by the rest. Because again, without accepting it, so then the rest doesn't exist. That's the second approach of the Maral. And the third approach, which is really the takeoff point for what we're going to talk about today, at least in the first part of what the Maral is going to be talking about today, is that the reason why it says it is this way is because this is not new. It's not new. The reality of Anochi Hashem Elokecha is starting from Yetzias Mitzrayim. If it's something new that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is initiating here at Har Sinai, so then he would say it in new terms. Anochi is specifically said, as if it's an already established fact, because the connection of Anochi Hashem Elokecha was already forged previous to what's happening here. I am already your Elokim that took you out of Mitzrayim. That's where it started. So, and as we said, even though, yes, it's true, Hashem maybe gave them the mitzvah of Shabbos before they got to Har Sinai. Hashem maybe gave them the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em before they got to Har Sinai. Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. But still, those are actions that still it's suitable to instruct them and say, you know, do this now. However, since Anochi Hashem Elokecha by nature is a mitzvah more of emunah, of connection, which is like it's one of the mitzvahs tmidiyos, it's a constant, and it was already in place from Yetzias Mitzrayim, so therefore, it is appropriate that it should be presented as a given, as something already there. Now this leads into what we have to discuss here, which is that it's a connection which was forged as Yetzias Mitzrayim. At Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now let's take a step back in order to begin the next section here of this Perek of the Maharal. The Maharal brings the classic question that was asked by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri. We began discussing this at the end last week. The Maharal brings the classic question that was discussed by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzri, and which is in fact quoted. He doesn't quote Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, he quotes the Ibn Ezra, who brings this question which was posed to him. The Ibn Ezra, in fact, says, Sha'olani, or Sha'altani, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Nuchasei Kavod. I was asked this question, he says, by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. What's the question? The question is, why does Hashem introduce himself at Har Sinai as, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim? Why doesn't he introduce himself as, I am Hashem, your God, who created the heaven and the earth? You know, it's like saying a little detail, you know,
By the way,
you know, if somebody introduces you and says, oh boy, I like your car, you know, I built that car, right? Well, meanwhile, he founded the company, you know, it's true that he built the car, you know, but he did much more than that. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the master that created the heavens and the earth. He's the master of the world at every time since its beginning. He sustains the world constantly. And instead he says, I am Hashem your God who did that one event on that nice spring day right in Egypt, and I took you out of Mitzrayim. Or that series of events over a period of time. It seems like a very narrow introduction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the question. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in the context of his conversations in the Kuzari with the searching king, who finally turns to the Jew as last resort and says, so tell me about your belief. And the Jew says, we believe in the God who took us out of Egypt and spoke to us at Har Sinai. So the king retorts and he says, I know I shouldn't ask the Jews. It's such a strange, you know, don't you speak of God in larger terms than just like, you know, somebody did one day? I mean, why don't you speak about the God? So he says, I'm saying it exactly the way God himself said it. When God introduced himself, he didn't say, I'm God who created heaven and earth. I'm God who took Adam and Shem. Why did he say that? Okay, so that's what he goes on to explain in his way. That's what he goes on to explain in his way. And the Kuzri's approach is that we never saw Hashem create heaven and earth. We saw Hashem do Yitzias Mitzrayim. We saw Hashem speak to us at Har Sinai. We heard Hashem and saw Hashem speak to us at Har Sinai. And therefore, instead of just speaking about a God of speculation, we speak about a God that we witnessed, that we saw ourselves. And that's what Hashem points to. You knew me from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Oh, there's a lot more to me than that. Of course. But the grounds for our belief is not speculation, but what we saw with our own eyes. And even though you and I didn't see it with our own eyes, but we've been being given it as a testimony for generations, that's what it's all about. So therefore, according to the Kuzari, it's that Yetzias Mitzrayim is the greatest proof of Hashem's existence. Now, of course, in that formulation, it would be just as compelling, really, in a great sense, to the Egyptians, who saw it too, to the Yoshevei Peloshes that we described this morning in the davening, right, and the Alufei Edom and the Elei Moav and everybody else who, it seems, knew absolutely that maybe they weren't there, but they were shaking and trembling because, you know, they saw it on the New York Times online edition, CNN. Right, and then CNN, right, they knew exactly what it was. Maybe there was even a YouTube, right, and they viral, and they knew about it. So for them too, we just proved God, right? The events happened to happen to the Jews, but the other Mitzrayim Kani Hashem, as Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, right? Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem too. So, but that's the approach of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, nevertheless, in the Kuzri. The Ibn Ezra quotes the question from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and the Ibn Ezra gives his own, gives a different answer. And the truth is that the Maharal's answer, I believe, is not remarkably different than the answer of the Ibn Ezra. But he answers it much more decisively in a certain sense than the Ibn Ezra. And it's really to address this last point which I just said, which is, according to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, well, anybody who happened to witness it would know from here on in God. You know, it just so happened that it was being done for the Jews. And with how the Maharal responds to this very, very strongly is that if you're going to speak about Hashem as the creator of the heaven and the earth, then you're not speaking about any particular connection that Hashem has to the Jewish people. Because Hashem created everybody. In creating heaven and earth, He created everybody. And Anochi Hashem Elokecha, one thing that it is, Matan Torah, is the initiation of a unique connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. And if Hashem wants to speak about a unique connection between Him and the Jewish people, He's not going to speak about a universal event. He's going to speak about a particular event. And the particular event is Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's where the particulars begin. That's where the specific, personal, quote-unquote, direct hanhaga between Hashem and us, that's where that starts.
As an Am?
As an Am, yes. Right. As an Am, visibly. Right? And that's, in a sense, where we see that as the beginning of our national history. Right? You're saying, Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did him, Avraham Avinu did miracles for him. Yeah, and you know, it's as Ramban points out, by Avraham Avinu, Hashem appears to him and he says, Ani Hashem, Asher Haytaysicha, Meir Kazdim. Right? So, you know, it's very similar to the language of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Haytaysicha, Meir Mitzrayim. But and it is, because Ur Kazdim, right? What do we refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim as? The Kur HaBarzel. Mm-hmm. Right? What's the Kur HaBarzel? Is the iron smelting furnace. What did Hashem take Avraham Avinu out of? The furnace, right? The furnace of Ur Kazdim, right? There's significant parallels. But nevertheless, this is really the beginning for us as Klal Yisrael. It's not an insignificant thing that whole miracle of Ur Kazdim is hidden. It's hidden. Where does it say it in the Torah? Right? According to some, it's not even counted as one of the Asar Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu because the Torah never says it. We learn it out from the term Ur Kazdim. We learn it from that language. Vani Hashem Arisaysichim Ur Kazdim. But there's nowhere in the Chumash where it says, and Nimrod went and he told Avraham Avinu, if you're not bowing down to Avraham Avinu, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace, and he was saved. There's no account like that in the Torah. Because really, the accounts of miracles, right? Shmi Hashem le'nedati lohem, the accounts of miracles begin with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the miracles are really about the special relationship which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the Jewish people. Right? The way the Ibn Ezra says it is, in very much the philosophical, scientific terms of his era, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world down here, and then above it he created the world of the sun and the moon and the stars, the Olam HaEmtzai, which, you know, to coin a phrase, you know, as the world turns, as these things go around, that's the way things happen. Fate, to some degree, is dependent on just the normal revolutions that conduct the behavior of the world. And Olam Kiminhagei Noeg, you don't see a deviation from that. Hashem remains insulated in his world above, and what you see is the interaction between the middle world and the world down here. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem cut through the middle world, straight down, to change things, to make the world not turn the way it normally turned. And he did that for the sake of the Jewish people. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing. That's Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Yetzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's not saying, wow, Hashem must be the master of the universe, he must be the creator, because otherwise how could he turn things upside down like that? Which is a Kuzari approach. That could be seen the same by the person who it happened to as the person who's watching it from the sidelines. Here, what we're showing is that Hashem did choose to say, I'm not going to let this go according to the normal rules. I'm going to intervene and I'm going to involve myself and I'm going to change the course of nature for the sake of the Jewish people. And then, when that happens, not only does everybody know that Hashem exists, but the people for whom Hashem changed the course of nature have just gotten the biggest hug possible. Hashem showed that He wants to do something for them. And the people who are watching on the sidelines, they are awestruck, and they're maybe fearful, and they're gnashing their teeth. Why is He doing it for them and not doing it for us? Right? That's driving them crazy. Right? That's Mishem Yod HaSina La'ilam. Right? That creates the love which the world has for the Jewish people, because if Hashem is intervening for us, that implies the Am HaNifchar, the chosen people. Right? That whole status which we've discussed so many times. That's what would drive them. But essentially, right, of course, what the Ibn Ezra is saying is that we go to Yetzias Mitzrayim because of the forging of a particular connection, relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, which happened there. It's not just the universal proof. It's the forging of a particular relationship. And the Maral takes this and he says it so decisively. How? What do you mean? You're going to say, I'm Hashem who took you, who created the heaven and the earth? The whole idea here is that there's a special connection between Kol Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course it has to be introduced in particular terms, not in general, global, universal terms. And Ibn Ezra is almost just excusing, because it's not just showing that Hashem is the God, it's showing he has a special connection with the Jewish people. Come on, of course, it's like he says the same thing combatively, almost. That's really what it is. Yeah.
Doesn't it say by the pasuk of Avraham that it's me?
Yes.
And by the first observance,
they rose, it's Anochi. Yeah. So, in Hashem, please remind me of this. Maybe when we get there, hopefully we'll get there a little bit later this morning, but we have to talk about the term Anochi. That's going to be some. Well, you know what? Because it's a little piece, we'll do it right now. I think once we have the train of thought.
If you hear Shemus HaNerdafim says that the Anochi is more essential.
That's correct. And the Maral follows the same approach, that Anochi is a stronger statement of me than Ani is. Ani could be said on something that I'm going to do, I'm doing. Anochi is more my essence, mm-hmm. Right? Whatever indication, more on Shabbos, that Anochi stands for Ana, Nashi, Ksavis, Yavis, whatever it is, but Anochi is a more essential statement. So the Maral does not explain it in contrast to Avraham Avinu, but what he says is, in line with what we quoted from the Maral earlier, his first approach to answering the question as to why Anochi is said as a statement. He says, because it's unconditional, it's absolute, it's unbreakable. Right? If we would say it as a commandment, commandments are made to be broken. Right? Statements are fact, unchangeable. Anochi is a statement of absolute connection between Kol Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Hashem says it as Anochi. Ani Hashem Aleikecha could be here today, gone tomorrow. Anochi Hashem Aleikecha is absolute. He quotes as support of this what we read in the Haftarah in Parshas Ekev, right, where Klal Yisrael says, Vatemer Tzion Azavani Hashem Vashem Shechechoni. Tzion cries and says, Hashem will abandon me, Hashem forgot me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and he says, if a woman would forget her infant child, right, which is highly unlikely, but even if that would be possible, I wouldn't forget you, right, gam eile tishkachna v'anaychi leyeshkochech, these could be forgotten, but I won't forget you. So what's the idea? So first of all, right, the Gemara says gam eile tishkachna is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll forget the trouble you gave me. What was the greatest event of the trouble that the Jewish people were given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Eile Aleyach Yisrael, the Egel, where they said Eile Aleyach Yisrael, I'll forget the Egel. But Anochi Hashem Aleikecha, right? Sinai Leyashkachich, that I'll never forget. That's the expression, that I'll never forget, says the Maral. Oh, you see that the key word, right? It's a remez to the Aseres Hadivres, of course. But then look at how it's being plugged back into the Pshutei Shel Mikra. The way it's plugged back into the Pshutei Shel Mikra is that word is used to say it's unbreakable, unshakable. Right? There was an Egel Azov, and teetering, maybe. No, the relationship will never be broken. Will never ever be broken. How's that expressed by Anochi Leyashkachech? Because Anochi, the statement is, that's me. Unshakable, Anochi Leyashkachech. If you recall, when we learned the Be'er HaGoyla, the Maral in the Be'er HaGoyla brings this Chazal. He brings this Chazal in the Be'er HaShlishi, I believe, where what his task in the Be'er HaShlishi, the whole Be'er HaGoyla is to explain how Chazal work things, is where Chazal seem to do these sort of cutesy things with words. Cutesy things with words. Right? or something like this. Gam eila tishkach l'manachil yashka. Eila chesrol, forget. What is it? So in that piece, right, he's trying to explain how fakert, you know, how those events really form this idea of an unshakable bond, which is the essence of what that perek in Yeshaya is speaking about, and therefore it's an amplification of the text itself. It's not just some wild, you know, we found this word, and we're pulling it in together to say something wild and crazy, right? But it's very much integrated with the text. And Maharal explains over there, what's the pshat? What's the simple pshat in the pasuk? Right? A woman will forget this, right? It's very hard for it's impossible. I mean, I've never seen a woman, who loses a child, who's ever able to forget about that child. Just doesn't seem to be possible. But if it would be possible, as the pasuk says, it says that doesn't happen. So I'm not going to forget you. But even if that would be possible, I won't forget you. Why? Right? Because if the woman loses a child, well, she still could have another option. She could maybe have another one. She could find some meaning someplace else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I bound myself up with you completely, that without you, I have no meaning. That which becomes you, absolutely you can't forget. Right? You can't, that's unforgettable. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, and that's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the maskana, but the details in between is that he was going to wipe us out and reestablish Klal Yisrael from Moshe Rabbeinu. Had Moshe Rabbeinu not intervened and said, then it could have been differently. So how do you say that? If it still would apply through, still there, but only through the Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, how do you get out of that?
Yes. So on some level, of course, what you're saying is correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, let me destroy them right away. But on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was inviting Moshe Rabbeinu's intervention, and even when he was going to destroy them, he was going to destroy them but leave Moshe Rabbeinu, and in that way be Mekayim Klal Yisrael on some level. So yes, it's complex. What Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished, of course, was much greater. What Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished was that, as what Moshe Rabbeinu said was, V'niflinu ani v'yamecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised me that you will absolutely never ever abandon the Jewish people, that it's always going to have to be something which is reconstructed. You know, this is the essence of it, and this is basically like this. This is, you know, like to give this example. I think it's a decent example. So what happens is a man and a woman, a husband and wife, they're riding with Gilligan. Right, and they get stranded on a desert island, just the two of them, nobody else.
No skipper,
no professor. And just the two of them, only the two of them on this desert island, and they try all their signals in the world, and they're just stranded there on the desert island, by themselves. And one day, they get into a really big fight. Really big fight. They get really, really upset with each other. And the husband says, I've had it. We're getting divorced.
The rabbi's out there, right?
No, so you see this, everybody snickers, right? They're getting divorced. What do you mean they're getting divorced? Right? You know, there's an expression, you know, there are plenty of fish in the sea, but there aren't a lot of, mermaids on this desert island over here. Like, what do you mean you're getting divorced? You know that they're not going to get divorced. What do you mean? It's only him and her. So what are they going to do? They're going to be upset. They'll stew in their juices, and then they'll figure out how to be able to forgive and get back together again. Because there's nothing else. There's just nothing else. There's just nothing else. When
Hashem saying that, like, he needs us, it's like Hashem of a need.
Yeah, of course. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to bind up his fate with the fate of the Jewish people. And that's a yusayid. It's not because Hashem is less, Hashem needs us for something or another. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create a world and to make his being in this, you know, the success of this enterprise completely contingent on the Jewish people. So this expansion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jewish people. And does that imply to some degree, quote unquote, a vulnerability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis this particular world, this world that we have? Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in our hands and said, it's going to be to some degree yours. to make it or break it. And Chazal don't shy away from saying that. It doesn't change the essence of Hashem. The essence of Hashem is beyond this world, and that's, you know, unchangeable and everything else. But vis-a-vis this particular project of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's completely bound up with the Jewish people. There's not going to be anything else. And yes, that does create, to some degree, a divine vulnerability, which Chazal speak about all the time, right? You just, you know, yesterday at Shalosh Shabbos, we were talking about the, you know, one of the story of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Yeshua overruled HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a halacha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, my son's triumphed over me, Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai. He smiled and he said, right, Nitzchuni Bonai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exposes himself to the vulnerability, to being in the hands, to some degree, of Klal Yisrael. But that's what he did there. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu did that, accomplished that at the Egel, and he said, nobody else ever. So what happens? That's the same context in which Hashem teaches us forgiveness. The Yigimul Midas HaRachmim. Because when you're stuck, and you're going to have to go on, then you have to learn how to forgive.
Hashem gave us a way out here. I'm stuck with you, so therefore I have to get
it. We have to have it. And just a beautiful thing if you think about it. Okay, we're in the middle of Chodesh Elul. We're in the beginning of Chodesh Elul. So Chodesh Elul commemorates the 40 days of Tshuva that ended in Yom Kippur. There were two periods of 40 days. Like the first period of 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu heard from Hashem on Har Sinai, on Yudzayin B'Tammuz, that the Jewish people had made the Egel, and Hashem said, I want to destroy them this second and make you into I'll start again with you. Moshe Rabbeinu got Hashem not to destroy the Jewish people that second, but he didn't get them yet not to destroy the Jewish people, just not to destroy the Jewish people that minute. He went down, he smashed the Egel, he did what he had to do, he came back up, and he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I won't destroy the Jewish people. Bring up another set of luchais, and we're going to do this again. And the next 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through the process of doing it again. So let me ask you a question. If you were identifying the 40 days for tshuva, which 40 days would you make it? I would have definitely made it the first 40 days. Because the first 40 days, Hashem was ready to destroy them. And then he said, okay, I won't. Right? After 40 days, Hashem said, I won't. I'm willing to work with them. To me, that would be the 40 days of tshuva. Instead, we keep the 40 days of tshuva, where Hashem already said, okay, don't worry, I'm not going to destroy them. I'll work with them. Now, let's just work up 40 days to build things back together. Those are the 40 days of tshuva. For the Jewish people. Because we begin with a premise. Which is why when Rosh Hashanah, we go Rosh Hashanah with Yom Tov clothes. Because we know that we're starting with the assumption that Hashem is not going to destroy us as a people. He's going to be dealing with the Jewish people favorably. The question is how good we're going to be. How good the report's going to be. How good the din is going to be. Right? But we're starting with the given. That's the idea. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't do without you. So, of course it's going to work. The question is, okay, is it going to be a sunny day? Is it going to be a cloudy day? You know, but it's going to work. That's the Avraham Yom of Tshuva that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 40 days of Shivasar B'Tamas to Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu did it forever. That's already done. That's already taken care of.
What was that then?
Hmm?
What did that accomplish?
Now we're his. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't say, you know what, maybe I should go with the Greeks.
No, I mean that during that 40 days.
During those first 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want
to
change
it. But the unshakable bond only came at the second.
No, fundamentally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm not going to destroy them, I'm going to rebuild it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, V'niflinu is, yes, on Yom Kippur, he finally says, he says V'niflinu. But to some degree, the process of the 40 days starts with the given, I'm going to work with you, and let's try to make it better. Right? At the end of the 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, forget it, there ain't going to be anything else. Yes, true in that sense. Okay, so that's the Anechi. So why by Avraham Avinu does it say Ani Hashem Asher Yitzeichu Mi'ur Kasdim? Why does he say that? Well, there was no Bris Mila yet with Avraham Avinu. When Hashem said Ani Hashem Asher Yitzeichu Mi'ur Kasdim was by the Bris Ben Absarim. Right? There was a Bechir of Avraham Avinu. Arguably, even after the Bechir of Avraham Avinu, things were still tentative until Matan Torah. You know, he offered the Torah to the next. You know, things were not as firm and as absolute with the choice of Avram, certainly at that stage of the choice of Avram, as they would ultimately be. So, you know, using the approach of the Maharal, the Shemus Anir Dafim, right, is that Ani is indeed a more moderate statement. Anoichi is when it becomes more
because
solidified.
He couldn't get the Torah to accept her people. So the Ani is as far as he could go with the Yachid.
It could be, but if you're saying that Ani is, Anoichi is, we have a firm, unshakable relationship, so then is that true from the time of Avram Avinu? In other words, it's true, of course, like we discussed, he couldn't do Matan Torah yet. But we have to, you know, it would depend on that.
The fact that it's 20, that the gematria is 20 additional, no fee's got a top, right?
Yeah.
Is that, you just talked about how Akash Baruch will pierce through the middle layers.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Hartman talks about all the may, all my being plural, that plurality is that middle layer. So is that that chop, is that pointing to that middle layer that he pierces through? Because it's 20.
It could be. Nice. I don't know. Could be. Okay. So continues the Maharal. So this is the idea, the special connection which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with the Jewish people. And he brings in this realm a Chazal. Amar Esh Lakish, Tavla Yesh HaLibay Shal Kol Malach Hu Malach. Ushmai Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kosev Alav. Meshutav Ushmai Shal Malach. There's a tavla, there's like a plate, a tablet, that sits on the heart, you know, like a breastplate, of every Malach, with the name of Hashem written on it, wrapped up with the name of the Malach. What does that mean? Mi Cha El, Gavri El, Rifa El, Uri El. Right? That's the idea. Adonai Bam Sinai Bakadesh. Right? The Malachim have this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continues the Medrash. V'lal temer behem bilvad. Don't say it's only with the Malachim that Hashem has a connection. El af b'shar shebolitein terasa, even when he comes to give the Torah. What does he say? Anoichi Hashem Eloi Kecha. I am Hashem, your God. That's binding him to us. And as it says, Shema mivadaber elikim elikecha anoichi, etc. And he says, your name before you accepted the Torah was like the rest of the nations of the world, but once you accept the Torah, now you become Ami, Elokim Elokecha Anochi, you become more my people. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right, so he brings the Sifri. Hashem, you're one for the whole world, but you're Elokeinu. You have a special connection with us. Shalish Pamashani Erika Zuchurcha as Pnei Adon Hashem Elokei Yisrael. 3 times a year your males will see the face of your master Hashem, the Elokim of the Jewish people, right? He's generally Hashem, but he's Elokei Yisrael. So the Medrash speaks about this connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is Huchal Shemay Oleinu B'Yotzer, that his name is upon us specifically. We must understand that. That's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Yetzeis Lo Mi'or Chasim, a special connection. And the Maharal says, but look at the Medrash. For us it's B'yaiser. By the Malachim, it says that they wear this tag. And on the tag, it has the name with the name of HaKadosh Baruch. For us, it's different. And Maharal uses this opportunity, and this is a big theme of this, this, you know, sort of like a sub-theme of this perek, is, and now we establish really what his basic issue is, which is that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Hashem is to speak about the bond, the specific bond between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He contrasts it with the bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim, seeing in this Chazal a contrast between the two of them. Now this Chazal simply read, you would say, oh, not only to the Malachim, but even to the Jewish people. But you know that Chazal teach us in many places that it's the other way around. That the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael is deeper than it is with the Malachim. Deeper than it is with the Malachim. In certain ways the Malachim are higher, but in the most real, fundamental ways, the Jewish people are higher. And the Maral takes this aspect of this Chazal to point that out itself. Because the Malachim it describes as wearing this breastplate. And that's to some degree removed. Whereas for Klal Yisrael, he sees it as more essential. What's the idea? What's the difference? He doesn't expound on it tremendously here. But I would just lend to it what the Ramchal teaches in the beginning of Derech Hashem, one of the basic foundational yesidus of the Ramchal, where he says that anything, right, we understand, if I ask you, okay, cut, let's start again, right? Why would the Jewish people be on a higher level than the Malachim? What would you say?
They're Nivchar.
They're?
Nivchar. Your family by chance, but friends by choice.
They're Beicher. Nivchar means they're chosen. They chose.
They chose, right?
You're all saying Bechira, yeah, free choice. The Malach is automatic, right? The Beicher, the one who chooses, right, is in a certain sense a higher level. That's why Hashem created man. Man is a combination of, right, angel and animal, right, the neshama and the guf, and he makes the choice, right? That's a much bigger thing. Now, conventionally, right, especially like in the terms we learn here in Maral, in this very perek, we would say, okay, but the malachim are more connected because it's definite. Right, a boicher is less connected because it's iffy. You know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But as the Ramchal taught, in a certain sense, in a deeper sense, the opposite is the case. Why? Because something which you're given is not you. You happen to be given it. Something which you chose is you, because you made it. The idea, says the Ramchal, of the fact that man has to be created with Bechira is because man is supposed to be B'tzelem Elokim, right? So it means he's supposed to be godly. What does it mean to be godly? Also, you should be very nice, and you should be very truthful, and you should be very spiritual. Right? All those things maybe Malachim could do and be more godly than us. But isn't the first definition of God, like when you open up the Ramchal, or you open up the Rambam, which he built on, in the Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph of Yesaidei HaTaira, the very beginning of the Rambam's Mishnah Taira, what's the first thing that we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an independent being. He's before anything else, meaning he wasn't created by anybody or by anything. He's self-made. Everything else might be dependent on him, but he's independent of everything. That's the first definition of God. A malach has no shaychus whatsoever to that definition of God, because he's completely dependent. Everything which he is a result of Hashem making him. Yes, so Hashem made him with the spiritual properties of God, but not with this fundamental property of God. Man is the opposite, in a sense. He's not created automatically with the spiritual qualities. He has the possibility of attainment of spiritual qualities. The possible attainment of spiritual qualities. But when he does attain them, that's his doing. Hashem didn't make him that way. Hashem created him with this balance. And now he defines himself. Anything which is placed into you from the outside is considered like a veneer. It's not you. It's a circumstance, whether it's your wealth, your height, your looks, your brains, right? Al Yisalel Chacham B'Chachmasei, Al Yisalel Gibor B'Vurasei, Al Yisalel L'Ashir B'Ashrei. Right? All those things, they're not yours. Hashem happened to put you into a body or a circumstance or environment that had these things. What is a person supposed to take pride in? What's his? Haskil V'Yodayasi. Right? You're getting to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's completely up to you. That's your making. And that's you. Nothing else is you. And that's why, when a person dies, as we learned also, I think in the Be'agol and the Maral, where he explained the Halach of Yush, that's why when a person dies, what doesn't go with him? What stays in the ground? Right? The wealth stays in the ground. Right? You can't take it with you. Right? He doesn't take that with him. Right? His great looks, right? They stay with, they go into the ground. High Shufra Boliafra. Right, his strength, it's gone. His brains, right, all gone. the only thing that he stays with him forever is the mitzvahs, is what he built in himself, because since that's you, that's inescapable, that's going to be you forever. So for us, it's kasvei maluach libecha. It's not some tablet which is slung in front of us. It's our essence, and that's why our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more essential, because of this that takes us beyond. A little further, what we're going to do here really is continue on in the Dibur, in the commandment, the last two words. What we read so far, we covered Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? Anochi we covered Hashem Elokecha, right? So Hashem is like for the whole world. Elokecha is the connection with you. Asher Hetzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Mitzrayim. We speak about that specific event that we've been talking about, not a global thing, but a particular thing. And the last two words are Mibeis Avodim. And that's what the Maharal is going to focus on now. Mibeis Avodim, from the house of slaves. And we're going to come back still to the Malachim theme, right? Because that's a big thing for him. But we're first going to explain Mibeis Avodim, and then it'll come back naturally through that to the Malachim theme. What's it mean, Mibeis Avodim? Says the Maharal, an Eved, in his terminology, represents Chaymer. When Avram Avinu, Chaymer is raw matter, right? When Avram Avinu was about to do Akedas Yitzchak, he turned to his servants and he said, Shvulachem pei im hachamar. You stay here with the chamar, with the donkey, right? Right? They were considered daimer lechamar, like the donkey. Chamar is Chaymer, is matter, physical matter. Shvulachem pei im hachamar. Im hadaimer lechamar. Am hadaimer lechamar. Why is an Eved compared to Chaymer? Why is it that way? Why is it that it's compared to Chaymer? So what's Chaymer, what's Tzura? Right, Chaymer, right, our example always is, right, to bring here to the table a ball of clay, of silly putty. Right, that's Chaymer. It's matter. Right, in our world, we never create matter. Right, there's the law of preservation of matter. Everything always exists already. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, the first moment of Bereishis Bara Elokim is when Hashem created matter. Right? That was, you know, creating the silly putty. He created the chaymer. But then, what do? You say you have the silly putty, so you start shaping it and you start forming it. Maybe the clay, you'll make it into a mug, you'll make it into a bowl, you'll make it into a plate, right? You'll make it into an image of a flower or a fire engine, right? Depending whether you're a girl or a boy, right? You know, you're gonna, you'll, huh? A gun, right? You'll take the chaymer and you'll give it what we call it tzura. You'll give it a shape. Chaymer is by definition a subject, right? It's going to be shaped and formed by something else. It's by definition enslaved, because by itself it's nothing. Right? As a ball of clay, it's nothing. You're going to take the ball of clay and you're going to give it a function. When you form the clay, you are like the master giving the slave its mission. Avdus, an eved, is by definition chomri. The master is independent. He goes and he defines the mission. He defines the mission for others. That's chayrus. And that's the idea of chayrus. Ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisek b'taira. Is because the idea is there is no such thing as something which isn't subject to the surah that's applied to them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we don't subject ourselves mamish to that which is applied to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what are we subject to? We're subject to El Malchus. We're subject to societal expectations and to the rule of kings and other people. We're subject to El Derech Eretz, to the rule of nature, Right? But when we accept upon ourselves, oh, Malchus Shamayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so of course we'll always be subject to Him. But we say, an Eved to Hashem is really a Ben Chayrin. Why? Because he's free of being subject to anything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were Avadim in Mitzrayim. And what did he do? When he took us out of Mitzrayim, he removed us from Chumrius. When we are ourselves materialistic, physical, we are necessarily that much more subject to everything else. When we are higher than the physical, than the material, when we are more removed from the raw matter, we're that much more independent. And the reason why, it's a combination of, you know, the reason and the result together, that Hashem went, He took us out, He made us His people, because He took us out, mibeis avadim. Because He gave us the ability to escape the limitations of material life, of mundane material life. Mundane material life means that our goals and everything is going to be shaped by outside influences. True independence is when we're not a slave to our nature, when we're not a slave to the material nature. That's in the Maharal's formulation, mibeis avadim.
We can still be a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
We can still be a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's no such thing as anything. Everything relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chaimer. Everything relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chaimer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate former designer of everything. Everything relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chaimer. To some degree, of course, again, the power of Bechira gives us some independence. Right? But of course, it gives us independence when it comes to Bechira. We're still largely subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately, of course, our ultimate bechira is to accept completely, to be defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To accept completely, to surrender our bechira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate choice for a person to make. But short of that, we're subject to so many other interim powers, or intermediate powers. Right, we're subject to kings, and we're subject to nature, and we're subject to everything else. We're just silly putty, been thrown around by the whims of others. We want to rise above that. That's me base avod.
Abri sabait. You said it again, Laura.
Yeah, very good, very good, very good. This idea that Klal Yisrael is somehow escaping physicality, and that's what makes us His people, is very, very big and very fundamental. And when we speak about the Malach Klal Yisrael enterprise, that's of course a very big piece. In that sense, it would seem to some degree that the Malachim have something over us, because they're just completely escaping the physical. They're completely spiritual. Klal Yisrael, it's more complex. We live in a physical world. Our spirituality is connected to physicality, but at the same time, somehow we emerge from it. And to this is where we have our biggest strength. And the Maharal brings here a beautiful chazal. There are many things which he brings in between, and there are many things that we can dwell on. But I would just want to focus here for the last piece that we're going to discuss today on one. And that is, yeah, there's many, many verter, many ideas he says in the middle. Viskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. And you will be sanctified and you will be holy. That's what Hashem said to the Jewish people. Rabbi Yavin said, Ha'alyoinim she'en yetzara b'neihem noslam kedush achas. The alyoinim, the malachim, who have no yetzara, who have no connection to physicality whatsoever, Hashem just gave them one mention of Kedusha. As it says, brings the pasuk Daniel, Uvimamar Kadishin She'ilta. Aval ha'tachtonim lefi she'yetzer ha'motzi v'hem. But us down here, where we're with the Yetzer, we're connected to physicality. This is on Tov Kuf Mem Tes in Rabbi Hartman's edition. Naslam Beis Kedushas. He gave them two Kedushas. Halevai v'yamdu be'beis Kedushas. Hopefully they'll be able to make it with the two Kedushas. What does that mean? Right? Clearly, the Malachim HaKadosh, easily, we need a double dose, because we have so much to remove ourselves from. That's what Rabbi Appa said. So what's the double dose? The Maharal brings two ways to look at it. One way is that he gave us mitzvahs, which make us rise above the nations of the world, who are chumri. And the second one is he gave us Torah, which is more than just actions that separate us, but an ability to connect on the deepest level of the seichel, of the machshava. That's the second tier, to bring us up and out. On the physical level of action we differentiate, and then we connect on the level of the seichel of the Torah, which is what we talked about earlier in the Maral. That's the quality of Torah. And the second shot is that it's mitzvahs lois aseh and mitzvahs aseh. Mitzvahs lois aseh is first level of differentiation. Mitzvahs aseh is much a higher level of engagement. Okay, we're not going to focus on that tremendously. Rabbi Abba said, "Mashal of Nei Medina, she'asu gimel atarais lamelech." You know what I would compare it to? I would compare it to the people of a medina, of a state, that they made three crowns for a king. Ma'asa melech, what did the king do? Nasan shtayim b'reish banav. He took two of them and he put them on the heads of his sons, and one he kept for himself. So he says the malachim every day praise Hashem, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. So he took two of those kadoshes and he gave them to the Jewish people. V'is kadashim v'isam kadoshim. And one he kept for himself. What does that mean? He explains morale beautifully. He says, a human being, we know, has three levels. And sometimes we say he has four levels. But for now we'll go with what is more often taught, which is that he has three levels. And the three levels are, he has his body, he has his nefesh. The nefesh is the animating force of the body. And he has his neshama. The neshama is a transcendent force. Right? An animal has a nefesh. Has a life force. The neshama is a chelek elikam imal. It's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that got connected down here to this, you know, to this world.
God has that too.
Whatever. Okay. Right. Chaviven, chaviv adam shenivra b'tzel. Yes. Those are the three levels upon which a person exists: the physical, the life force of the physical, and a force which is connected to the physical. So I want to. So he says like this. So when we speak about the three kedushas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kedusha achas. The first Kedusha, which the Malachim say when they say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Okay, this is not the Kadosh, Kadosh. We translate Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in our davening, in Uval Etzion, where we bring the Targum. Right? Kaddish, Bishmei Mereimah Yilah Beishchintei. Kadosh in the heavens. Kaddish Alay Ravad Wirtei. Kadosh in the land where he does his strength. Kaddish Lalam Lalmei Almaya. Kadosh forever. He's translating it differently. You'll see that it's connected. But he's translating it differently. Kedusha achas, Shri Yisbarach Einai Geshem. Hashem's non-physical. Right? HaKedusha Hashenis, She'einai Koyach B'Geshem. He's not even a force within the physical world. Right? That's not the essence of HaKadosh Baruch. Hashem isn't physical. And Hashem isn't like the Nefesh is, you know, a life force in the physical world. That's not Hashem either. And the third level is that Hashem isn't even a transcendent force beyond the physical that's tied to the world. Right? In a sense, that's the three levels. Right? Kaddish b'shmei mereimo ilo b'shchintei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's in the heavens, he's not in the earth. Kaddish ala roi varguvertei. On the other hand, he'll be to some degree, you know, a driving force within the world, but it's from the heavens. It's not exactly. And then le'olam olmei amaya is that Hashem's immortal, right? So somehow, you know, completely removed from physicality.
Sounds very Greek.
It is, in a sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's dimin zebra. Let me just finish it through. Haguf hu gashmi. The body is gashmi, the nefesh is koyach gashmi. A seichel in a koyach b'geshem. The seichel isn't a koyach b'geshem. It's a neighbor to the geshem. It's a shachin. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removed from all of these things, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took two of them and he gave them to the Jewish people. One of them remained reserved for himself. the Jewish people wouldn't have it. But two of them he gave the Jewish people. Why? Ki kedushas Yisrael b'mashem uma kedusha. Ki ein v'reinu rak b'kedushas u'madrega sa'am b'mashem v'ein v'reinu b'adam prati. U'madrega zeh she'esh l'Yisrael ein agashmes v'lekeach gashmi. He says, the Jewish people, our special quality is that we transcend the physical and that our life force isn't driven by the physical. But we can't say that we're removed completely from the physical. Farkert. Our mission, our place, is very much tied up with being Kodesh Baruch Hu's people here on this earth. So two of the crowns of transcendence, two of the elements of transcendence, he gave to the Jewish people. And one he kept for himself. That's what he shared. That's the Kaddish. And so, yes, it's our connection with Chaimer that distinguishes us from the Malachim. The effort that we have to make to be Kaddish. The two squeezes of Kaddish, Kaddish, Vizkadishna, Vizem Kaddishim, as opposed to Malachim that have sort of easy streets. But that's all what it's about. And that really just comes back to this idea of Mi Beis Avodim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, made us removed from transcend, just living a mundane existence. A mundane existence just subject to whim and subject to others.
How does this fit with Hashkoch HaPratis? That's a totally opposite idea, where he's moved up there and nothing. He's actively involved with us on every level.
That's part of a good question, but I would express the question even a little bit stronger. Chazal say it in a way which is different. Chazal say, "Hani chamisha baruchi nafshi keneged mi amram David." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Baruchi nafshi as Hashem." David said, "Baruchi nafshi as Hashem." Tilum kuf dalet. In there, five times he says, "Baruchi nafshi." What are the five baruchi nafshis? So he says, it takes one to know one. Right? To bless Hashem, you have to know, and the nefesh is able to bless Hashem. Because the nefesh shares qualities with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says the fundamental thing is that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the world is like the individual's soul in his body, which is a kesher. It's a kesher in many vrayim. So, of course, that's true. So what does the Maral mean? Because there are always two madregas of Hashem Yisbarach, like we were talking about before. There is such a thing like that. Hashem ties himself up in the world, and in that sense he makes himself vulnerable to the Jewish people, and now he's in this world, is Hashem visible? Hashem is weak, right? The Shekhinah is in Golos, right? As opposed to other times. But then there's the unshakable Hashem. Then there's the immovable Hashem, the Hashem which is unchanging, the Hashem which is beyond all of this. This is just a little specific outpost. So when we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really beyond all of it. It's because, certainly on a significant level, the unchanging HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond all of it. On some level, he chose to connect. But that's not a limiting factor in the same way. Yeah.
We see several times in the Torah where there is they call it 3 degrees of freedom. Three levels of disconnect, if you will. For example, when Yosef is sent by his father to Shechem, it's a 3-day journey. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for 3 days in the Midbar. So is Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh also three levels of Kadosh Baruch Hu is so Kadosh that it's beyond the pale of a human being at the greatest level because there's three levels of disconnect.
Nice. That's very nice.
The Malachim on the Gemara says they only do two Kaddish.
For 3 days for our Sinai. What?
I mean, the Malachim only do two Kaddish? I forgot the Gemara. There's a Gemara, not what the Malachim say. They don't say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. You say that.
Right.
No, the Malachim. The Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish is a quote from the Malachim.
So they do say it. I thought they had like one.
Shem Shemai, Din Shemai, Sebe Shemai Mara. They say it. Hashem gives them one Kaddish. The Mamar Kaddishin, and he gives us two. That's what the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. Okay.